I'm Eric Penniman. I'm a family doctor in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I've been doing family medicine for 27 years. And I first got involved with CMDA back in medical school. I intentionally went to medical school because I felt called to medical missions. And so I feel so blessed to have been involved with CMDA now for, you know, 3.5 decades and get involved with global health outreach and the opportunities that that's provided, not only for myself and the calling that God had on me for medical missions, but then actually allowing myself to bring my daughters on trips. It kind of changed their lives and changed what they really felt God calling them to do. Just taking them on mission trips helped challenge their faith and help them understand what is really important. CMDA's had so many positive effects from so many different ways, so yeah, it's been awesome.
Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, and you are listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I hope that you and your family have had a wonderful Advent season preparing your hearts for Christmas. Well, as I think about Christmas arriving this Sunday, the words, God is so good, comes to mind. God is so good. To send His only Son to be born in a humble setting, to walk this earth with one end game in mind, and then to give of Himself because of His radical love for His creation who've gone astray. I hope that you can say this with me now. God is so good. Well, no matter what you are facing, please remember, God is so good. Here at your CMDA, we've been reminding ourselves of this very thing. God is so good. This fall's not been an easy season for us financially. We've had to make a few tough decisions to help as we approach ministry in the months ahead. The rising cost of carrying out the work of CMDA has caused some unexpected challenges, yet I and your team at CMDA, we can say God is so good. He's good for many reasons. Today, the one attribute of God that stands out is faithfulness. As a faith ministry over 91 years, the Lord has faithfully provided what has been needed to carry out the work of this ministry. As we head into Christmas this week, and in just days, we will begin a new year. Would you consider a financial gift to help us finish the year strong with confidence to pursue all that we believe the Lord has called your CMDA to do in 2023? Well, to give, just visit cmda.org/give or call 888-230-2637 even today. At the beginning of our episode today, you heard from Dr. Eric Penniman, a CMDA member who has been actively involved in leading short-term mission trips through our global health outreach ministry. I'm so glad we heard from him as we open today's episode because this episode focuses on life on the mission field. As a special Christmas gift for you, we asked a handful of missionaries to share their Christmas and holiday memories from the mission field. And first up is a voice that's going to sound quite familiar to those of you who've been listening to Christian Doctor's Digest in the past. It's Dr. David Stevens, CMDA's CEO Emeritus, who served as a healthcare missionary at Temwick Hospital in Kenya with his family for 11 years, starting in the early 80s. And I actually learned some things about life in Kenya myself from hearing his testimony.
Hi, I'm Dave Stevens, and boy, it's fun to relate back to Christmas in Kenya as we worked at Tenwick Hospital for 11 years. You know, Christmas for missionaries is probably the toughest time of the year because you're away from family and all the traditions and everyone gathering. You just don't have the opportunity to do that. And back in those days, there was no FaceTime. The phone was an old crank kind that you barely get through to the nearest little town, much less back to the States. So you were isolated from what you normally experienced. And you add to that a tremendous workload going on at the hospital. I remember in early days when there were only three of us there as physicians, you either had been on call or were on call or sleeping from the day you were on call. So it's just difficult in that way, but also tremendous blessings. Since we had the largest compound, everybody, all the missionaries from World Gospel Mission in the country would come to Tenwick, and we would have a Christmas group together and with kids singing Christmas carols and songs in a little choir and little dramas. And then Santa Claus would come in and give gifts to the kids. And we saw a lot of the missionaries. We didn't see that often. And so that, in a way, was our family. And of course, back then, all our kids, all the other missionaries were uncle or aunt, and we were extremely close. And then we'd have Christmas at home. And always that was never at a specific time, depending on what was happening in the hospital. If I could get down during the day, we would have Christmas. So sometimes it wasn't early in the morning as usual. But the kids adapted to that. And we didn't have a lot of decorations. We had a small Christmas tree and brought, and often we made ornaments for it. And then on the compound, we had that big group gathering. The women get together and make an ornament for that year, something that they had figured out, and we'd have that on the tree as well. I remember one in particular, Christmas in our second term. By then, Jason was 8 or 9, and Jessica a couple years younger, and then Stacy was only probably, 2 or 3. And we had come back from our deputation, and I brought a video camera, the first one on the compound, and we had it set up on a tripod, and Jason, who's now full-time in communications, loved operating this thing. So he was over at the tripod, and we were making a video we were going to send home to both Jody and my parents. And we were trying to get Stacy to say something. And I said to her, I said, Stacy, say something to Grandma and Grandpa. And she got down off the couch, walked up to the video camera, looked in the lens and said, I can't see them in there. And we howled about that. We finally got her to say something, but we would make audio tapes before then. And then at that time, we made that videotape and shared Christmas with them. Of course, special food, it was kind of funny as well because you couldn't get turkeys in the country. So Dr. Sturry raised chickens. He was a farm boy. And each year in the fall, he would inject a number of those chickens with steroids, and they would get as big as turkeys. And that would be our, quote, turkey for Christmas. We couldn't get ham in the country either, so that was about the only way we could do it, and a small chicken wasn't big enough. I'm not sure what effect the steroids had on all of us, but we did okay. And we'd have a big meal, and we'd always try to buy apples. They're only grown one place in the country because we were on the equator. And it was up in the hills, but there was never winter, and apples will not bloom unless there's cold. So they would chemically defoliate them and make it like a fall, and then when they came back, you get some small apples. I remember, this is back in the 80s, we paid $40 for a bushel of apples, and we would get those before Thanksgiving, half a bushel for us, half a bushel for one of the other missionaries, and Jody would make apple pie, and so that was always special. But the main thing, I guess, you think back, is just the impact of that season of the year, even on our national staff. Oh, there weren't decorations. There were all kinds of Christmas things that were going on that time of year, special services, times of worship and Thanksgiving. And we got to be part of that as well. So Christmas was still Christmas, but very different. But you sense God's presence. He's always faithful. And if you ask our kids some of their happiest Christmas memories, it was back in those days.
Well, our next Christmas story comes from Dr. Les and Debbie Dornan. They're a missionary couple who spent 20 years living and serving in Nepal. They now live in Indiana, and they joined us to reflect on their first Christmas living in the nation of Nepal.
Over the past 30 years, we've spent about 20 Christmases in Nepal. They all were memorable in some way, but for us, the first one we spent in Tansen back in 1991 was probably the one we remember the best.
For me, spending Christmas Day at church was something new. I grew up in Ohio in the United Methodist Church, and we always had a big Christmas Eve service every year. We had an amazing music director, and each service was filled with new music and new insights into Jesus' birth. Christmas Day for me was a day spent with family.
We learned that in Nepal, since many believers there are still first-generation Christians, that church was their family. People started gathering at church early in the morning Christmas Day, especially the crew in charge of cooking the meal. There were vegetables to be chopped, rice to be measured and washed, chutneys to be made, and plates to be made by stitching large leaves together with small toothpicks. The food was all prepared to go into huge pots, which were cooked over wood fires. Those not involved in cooking and preparation usually came around 10 a.m.
Our first Christmas in Tansen was rainy and cold. We trudged up the hill, very literally, with our 2 and 4-year-old and one baby still in utero. We had to walk through muddy fields and on rocky paths, which took us about 20 minutes on a good day. As we entered the small compound where the church was located, we noticed a couple of goats tied to one of the poles along the fence. We soon learned that those goats were the main course for our meal.
Families and friends removed their shoes at the church door, as is the custom, and made their way to the right side for men or to the left for the women. Everyone was wearing their best clothing, bright colored saris for the women and suits for the men, with the distinctive colorful topi or Nepali hat perched jauntily on their heads. We tried to get along the walls on our respective sides so that we could lean back during the service. The kids crawled back and forth through the people, depending on which parent they thought would offer the best treat or incentive to sit still a bit longer.
The worship started with prayer and praise, lots of singing, lots of praying, which we all did out loud and all together. And there was then a short message, maybe only 30 minutes instead of the usual 60, by the pastor. The service was then open to anyone who had a song to share, a skit to act out, or a poem to read. The Sunday school children performed songs and the nativity story. Our children took part in later years, but not this first time.
At 2 or 3 in the afternoon, the food was ready. We all lined up and got our plate of dal bhat, rice with lentil sauce, curried vegetables, spicy goat meat, and various pickles and chutneys. Because of the rain, this day we sat on the floor inside the church and ate with our hands, which is a Nepali custom, which Debbie never enjoyed, but the kids loved it. We were huddled inside in our winter coats trying to stay warm. There's no heating in Nepali houses or churches. Fortunately, it never freezes where we lived. We left to walk back home after eating, but many of our Nepali friends stayed through until evening, not wanting to leave the fellowship of believers to return to family members who were often hostile to Christianity.
Until 1990, Christianity was outlawed in Nepal, and people were jailed for converting from Hinduism. It was late in 1990 that Nepal became a constitutional monarchy with new hope for religious freedom. This Christmas of 1991, the believers were celebrating not only the birth of Christ, but also the opportunity to worship together openly and freely.
A week before Christmas Day, the churches in town rented the town hall and presented the Christmas story. They started with Adam and Eve, shared the story of how people became sinful, and then went to the story of the birth of Jesus, who came to earth in order to save us from those sins.
I sat with the children to watch, but Les was able to be a small part of the program, playing guitar with some of the songs, and also playing the part of one of the wise men. I remember that a couple of the Nepali men that we knew were acting as the shepherds. During their dialogue, one of them told a joke about a foreigner he had met on the street. I was so happy that I could actually understand the punchline of a joke told in Nepali, even though that particular joke was poking fun at how badly some of us missionaries spoke the language. The town hall was packed with people, and only God knows how many were touched that day by hearing the story of Jesus for the first time.
Yes, we missed our traditions of Christmas from our childhoods, singing Handel's Messiah, visiting family, eating turkey, baking cookies, and caroling in the snow. But we were so thankful to be in a place where Christmas was so much more simple. It was like getting an insight into how Christmas used to be. No trees, lights, or Santas were anywhere to be seen. People were not running around like crazy, making sure they got to all the concerts or bought all the gifts or sent all the cards. Here, we simply went to church, sang praises to Jesus, ate together as a family, and worshiped the one who came as Emmanuel to be with us.
30 years later, Christmas in Nepal still involves all day at church, eating together, and enjoying lots of fellowship. Unfortunately, the commercial side has come into the country as well. But we are just thankful we had for the chances to worship with believers from around the world who love Jesus. And we consider that we have had a small taste of heaven here on earth.
Isn't it incredible to think about a simple Christmas from Nepal from nearly 30 years ago, and then how God used that opportunity to introduce people to Him? It truly is a small taste of heaven, like Debbie just told us. Well, we're now joined by Drs. Doug and Ruth Lindberg. They're family physicians who spent 4 years living as missionaries in South Asia. You've heard Doug from time to time on the podcast before as he serves as our director of CMDA's Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions. Today, he's joined by his lovely wife, Ruth, as they share some holiday memories, both good as well as some bad.
Hi, we are Doug and Ruth Lindberg. We are both family physicians, and we served in South Asia for 4 years as healthcare missionaries. And we are excited to share a few holiday memories, some highs and some lows during our time there. And holidays were both a special time and a hard time when we were there. They were a time when we were acutely aware of being away from our families and some of the trappings of living in the U.S. But at the same time, they were a time when we were able to connect with national friends and our missionary colleagues in really new and special ways. And that led to relationships going deep. So to start off with, maybe we'll share the more difficult memory that comes to mind as we think back on our holidays in South Asia. And this was a Thanksgiving that went awry.
It's about a year and a half after we moved to South Asia, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we had gone from the mission hospital to the capital city for some work-related reason. And we were supposed to travel back to the hospital about 2 days before Thanksgiving so we could be back there and settled. And we were short of staff at that point, so there was a need for us to get back there. But at the same time, Thanksgiving's obviously a really special time of year. And so 2 days before we were supposed to leave, there was a potluck with our team, and it was nice. It was fun. But then we had planned to leave early Thanksgiving morning, and about halfway to the hospital in traveling back, there was a really nice hotel that was actually owned by an American that had roast chicken dinner that we were going to have that would have been a nice Thanksgiving thing to have. That's not what happened.
No, that's not what happened. We hired a driver to take us back to the hospital, and it was going to be maybe a 20-hour drive. So about 10, maybe 8 to 10 hours in would have been where we stopped for a Thanksgiving dinner. And we were supposed to leave very early that morning, but as it tends to go, things don't usually happen as planned when you live overseas. So I think we probably left like maybe 6 hours later than we were supposed to. And so it was very clear from when we left that we were not going to make it to the hotel we had hoped for.
For dinner.
For dinner, yeah.
And so our Thanksgiving dinner, it was a dreary day too. So our Thanksgiving dinner wound up being along the side of a highway, eating lentils and rice, which were kind of cold. And I think the power was out. And we had little kids who were fussy because it was late at night. And we were thinking of our families back around like this beautiful Courier Knives Thanksgiving dinner. And It was miserable. And additionally, it was a tense time that we were still very much adjusting to, kind of balancing responsibilities and roles and the demands of the hospital versus boundaries that we as a family would have. And we were still negotiating that as a couple. And so it really came to a head alongside that highway where, you know, my pushing us to get back so I could provide coverage to the hospital meant cold lentils and rice. It was miserable.
That was a low point.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's sacrifices that you're called to make, mm-hmm. and they're difficult. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there are sacrifices that you don't have to make.
Yeah.
And it's a balancing act. Mm-hmm.
So we were learning. We were a work in progress. We still are. And by no means were all the holidays negative memories. I mean, there were some really fun and sweet memories. And some of them were local holidays that we added to our repertoire. But we had one really special Thanksgiving. It was a year or two later after the infamous roadside lentils and rice Thanksgiving. And we were together at our next door neighbor's house with some of the most wonderful people that we've known in our lives. And it wound up being this big old potluck with everyone bringing, you know, their favorite treats. And there were like five different types of pie, and probably more different types of pie than have ever been assembled before or since in that remote mountain outpost, both national and expat believers who were together. And we just laughed and we ate and we celebrated. And it really in every way felt like family. It was just such a special and sweet time that we still think back on with really fond and warm memories.
At that point, we had been in South Asia for 3 years. And so things that were new had become familiar. We knew our way around. We knew what kind of pies we could make, what things we could recreate from home to make that holiday feel familiar. Mm-hmm. There were familiar touches. We knew how to make a roast chicken feel pretty close to a roast turkey and be happy with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we had been there, and the people that we celebrated with, they were our family. And, you know, Thanksgiving here is all about just those familiar comforts, those familiar foods, being surrounded by the people you love. And that's what we had at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. We had that familiar feeling of being around people we loved. It made it really special. Mm-hmm.
Well, I couldn't help but smile as I heard Doug and Ruth so transparently share about some of those not so fond memories of what holidays actually can look like on the mission field. They were authentic. But it's the good memories that do tend to stick out most for us all, I think. Our next guest is Judy Palpant, who now lives in Washington State but spent 6 years living at a Quaker mission hospital in Northwest Kenya with their three children.
My name is Judy Palpant, and I'm going to be reading a journal entry from our second year in Kenya. It's a Christmas Day reading, and we'll just tell you some of the happenings of that day in our lives. December 25th, 1981, 7:30 p.m. Here we are, nearing the end of our second year in Kenya, and Christmas Day is almost gone. I just kicked some ants away from the sugarcane fibers on the kitchen floor. The Martha in me wants to start cleaning up. But the Mary in me says the better thing is to reflect on the day's happenings. This morning, we had a special breakfast of our traditional rice pudding and Christmas bread. When the kids sat down in their places, they found a happy surprise, a new teddy bear, sitting beside each of their plates. Over the last few weeks, I've spent many a night after their bedtime hand-stitching these critters. How gratifying to see them finally finished, welcomed, and hugged. After cleaning up from that meal, I started preparing food for our midday gathering with Ugandan refugee friends. I started with the chicken, then went on to prepare the cabbage. Finally, the fruit salad, cutting up fresh mango, pineapple, passion fruit, papaya, and sweet bananas. Yesterday, when I was frantically pushing shortbread dough into cookie molds, 2-year-old Nathan climbed up on the chair to join his 3-year-old sister to help. A line from Joy to the World was obviously stuck in his head. He looked up at me and said, "Mom, the Lord is come." "Ah, yes, indeed, dear boy, out of the mouths of babes." I had to smile and set aside my anxiety. All in good time, tasks would get done. Just the memory of that moment slowed me down this morning. Plus, I had the added blessing of hearing the Sunday school children gathered under a nearby tree, singing familiar songs in Swahili. "Oh, God is good. Mungu umwema. And this is the day the Lord has made." Betsy, our precious friend, Ugandan refugee and excellent nurse, arrived. She washed the dishes while I dressed. We carried the baskets of food and walked the short trek from the hospital compound to the adjacent secondary school. On the way, Betsy told me she made a Christmas tree out of juniper branches in the shape of an ark, then knelt and offered up her 2-year-old son as her treasured gift for the Christ child. Her husband died from AIDS, and this is her only child. We talked about living in the rural area of a foreign country at Christmas time, without family and the usual commercialization. Christ and his advent remain the focus. What a rich time we had at the home of Moses and Christine. In addition to the food I brought, they added goat meat, rice, matoki, potatoes, and chai. After eating, we sang and shared testimonies. It struck me that in Luke 2:20, the shepherds found everything just as they had been told. In heaven, we will find a place prepared, and all of God's promises to be just as we have been told. I silently prayed that it might be so, even for our parents back in the U.S. Though they sorely missed us this Christmas, may they be comforted and discover that indeed, all things work together for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. As the ladies cleaned up, the men and children took off to play the big wooden xylophone Moses has constructed over a pit in the ground. Betsy and I headed back across the compound with the sounds of resonant music in the air. I stopped for a few minutes to see Betsy's arched tree. She told me that the rooster we gave her for Christmas had been an answer to prayer. I could hardly believe it. God is good and uses even ordinary gifts to meet needs we know nothing about. Yes, there have been twinges of homesickness, but God's family is very big. It was a special and memorable day. Vincent, a local teacher, walked in this evening with a big smile and said, "Praise God. Christmas is a happy time, but can also be a trying one. My child has malaria." So Sam has gone over to the hospital to see this child who is in need of a wise man's visit. All three of our kids are tucked into bed with their teddy bears, and now I will start cleaning up. We had a rain shower tonight. For the Africans, that is God's final touch of blessing on the year. We too feel his showers of blessing.
The Lord has come. What a great reminder from the mouth of a child about where our focus should be this Christmas season. The Lord has come. Shout it from the mountaintops. Well, while I'm thinking of it, will you join me in praying for your healthcare missionary colleagues who'll be celebrating Christmas on the mission field this weekend? Healthcare missions is woven deep within our DNA at your CMDA. because members over the decades, just like the voices you heard today, have realized the power of the tool of healthcare to make a way for healing broken hearts through the gospel. Our brothers and sisters serving on the mission field desperately need encouragement, even now. They need to know they're not alone, and they need my prayers and your prayers. You know, hearing these stories and memories from the field, it actually got me thinking about my own Christmas memories as a missionary, and I didn't want to miss the opportunity to share one of the memories that Pam and I talk about from time to time. This Christmas season, I wanted to share with you a story from my time as a missionary in Kenya on the field. And over the course of 20 years working with many other missionaries, I know that other parents shared in common with my wife Pam and I that we wanted, one way or another, the children who were with us that we were raising in rural Africa to catch a vision and understand what God had asked us to do among the people that we were called to serve. And I specifically remember a Christmas, our fourth child had just been born, Ashley. She was just a newborn baby, and my parents got to come visit for the first time with us in Kenya to see Temwek Hospital where we were serving. And a tradition that was so fun. Pam and I loved to sing together, and so we were looked to for leadership every Christmas Eve and or Christmas Day to do caroling through the various hospital wards. And on that particular Christmas morning, we led a group of missionaries through Temwek Hospital and sang from one ward to another. And we were passing through the pediatric ward, which is especially difficult for some of our non-medical family members, including our spouses, to see some of the sights and smell the smells and hear the sounds of babies crying and other children who are sick and suffering. And as we sang those carols, I looked at my oldest daughter, Melody, who at the time was about 6 years old, and she was a little bit quiet and pensive and wasn't necessarily singing very loudly with us in that particular ward with the children. Her eyes were big. And we walked home from the hospital, and as we were walking home, she was very quiet, and I asked her what was going on. She really didn't give me any information. When we got home, she quickly ran through the door, ran to her bedroom, and came back with a great big tub of her treasure, her heart's treasure, which was the various Beanie Babies that she had collected over time, maybe 25 or 30 in her Beanie Baby congregation. And I said, what's up, sweetheart? She said, Dad, those children, they didn't have anything and they're sick and it's Christmas Day. Jesus gave us a wonderful gift at Christmas. I want to give what I have to those children. Can we go back up to the hospital? My mom was listening in and she thought, oh, Melody, that is so special. And it made me think as we were walking up the hill that an interesting gift to be giving to these Kenyan children. Some of them didn't have any clue what they were receiving, but many of them gave Melody just a sweet smile as she handed over her treasure one by one in the pediatric ward there at Temwek Hospital, a Beanie Baby as a Christmas gift. And the moms and the dads were so appreciative of what this little blonde little American girl was giving to their children. And you know, it makes me think of Paul's letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, where he tells them, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." What Jesus gave us blows away a stash of Beanie Babies. You know, in Romans it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's a very special Christmas memory for me when my daughter Melody got a glimpse and shared, as God did, from her treasure to those who did not have something that she had in abundance. Jesus gave from his wealth in heaven at the throne, and through his poverty, we have become rich. And that, I think, is the heart of the Christmas message. From all of us here at CMDA, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. I want to leave you with the words of an angel to the shepherds from Luke 2:10. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Sharing the good news of God's great joy as we bring the hope and healing of Christ to the world is what matters to CMDA. And CMDA matters. As I said many times earlier, God is so good. Merry Christmas, CMDA.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.